day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Health Information Technology conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone.
Good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank you all for joining us today in the first of our conference call series on health information technology. Before we get started, though, I just kind of want to reiterate to everybody that you can find your conference call materials on Jenny. And you can log on to Jenny by typing jeny.ipro.org. Go under the hospital section. Click on systems improvement, organizational culture, change, and there are the materials. It would be very helpful if you either print out or bring up on your screen the build the vision slide and the PowerPoint presentation. Those are definitely two areas that we're going to be covering on today's call. In addition to that, there's also a template that you'll find on there, but we're going to talk about that as well. I just want to make sure that you see that the template's up there. It's called Journaling the Journey. Okay, well, giving you about a second to do that. My name is Suzanne Columbus, and I'm relatively new to this project, so I just kind of want to give you a little bit of background on myself. Okay, I have been working for iPro for almost 3 years now. I am the senior EHR implementation advisor, meaning that I have been working with both the hospital team and the doctor's office quality information technology project, assisting small to mid-sized physician practices for implementation of ambulatory electronic health records, building registries, and using information technology to improve the quality of care that they deliver to their patient population. It's been a pretty exciting initiative, and I'm pretty excited now about having this dual role on the HIT project team. Give you a little sense of what's led me here. I was the project director for creative sociomedics for about 3.5 years, where I implemented a behavioral health practice management and electronic health record for many sites, including UBHC in New Jersey, St. Vincent's, Arkansas, the state of Arkansas. I did a couple of state projects. And I was also the director of IT at a nursing home in the Bronx. Anyway, I hope everybody has their slides up, because we're going to get started talking about our objectives for today's conference call. Okay. Just to let you know, I find it a little bit of an uncomfortable kind of a situation for me here with using the phone, so forgive me if I'm a little on the stuttery side. Thanks. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about the 8th scope of work HIT conference calls, which we have called The Journey of 1,000 Miles Begins with a Single Step. We're going to introduce all of our HIT IPG participants, and we're going to talk about HIT project planning, building the vision. That's a slide that's from the tool set that I sent out to you. We're also going to have a very short overview on pay for performance. Okay, on our slide called The Journey of 1,000 Miles Begins with a Single Step, and now we're going to talk about what our future sessions are going to include. The tool set that I sent out to you is really the basis of this whole conference call series. It talks about the IT project planning phases. I broke it down into 7 phases, and I'm hoping that we will be able to cover pretty much everything about implementing the 3 technology areas that we're looking at in these 5 conference calls. The 7 phases include visioning, which is what we're going to talk about today, which is our strategic planning, system selection and project planning, system design and implementation, We're going to talk a little bit about building and unit testing, because that's something that's kind of key in implementing various systems. We're going to talk about QA testing. We're going to talk about training plans. How do you build a training plan? We're going to talk about building the training rooms and what needs to be done for training. We're going to talk about what do we do when we go to roll out, go live. And then another conference call is going to really be focused on what do we do after we implement? How do we support this application? What's the maintenance? What do we need to do now? Where do we go now? Service level agreements, et cetera. We're going to have some guest speakers on implementing BARC POE. We have asked a few people like Dr. Ken Ong to talk about clinical informatics. That's going to be a pretty great call. That's on that type of a discussion. We're going to talk about HIMSS HIT integration approach. One call I'm hoping to have a speaker on, who we have pretty much secured, on the legal aspects of health information technology. So now this brings us to the time in our call where I am going to do sort of a roll call. And on this roll call, I'm going to ask that if you're on the call, just let us know your name that you're focusing on. And I'm going to start by actually saying the name of the hospital. And then if you could just say, yeah, I'm here and I am. Okay? Ailey Memorial Hospital. Anybody? Ailey Memorial? Oh, we should tell you to unmute your phones right now, by the way. Everybody unmute. Bellevue? Bronx Lebanon Hospital? Brooks Memorial Hospital? Champlain Valley? Claxton Hepburn? Clifton Springs?
I'm here, Dave Marcant.
Hi, Dave. Thank you.
Hi.
What's your area, Dave?
Director of IS and telecommunications.
And what's your project focus for this project? Is it barcoding, telemedicine, or CPOE?
Point of care barcoding for patient safety.
Thanks. We have Coney Island Hospital.
Here. It's Silvana DeSimone.
Thanks, Silvana.
We're concentrating on a barcode for patient safety.
So, Anna has been nice enough to take part of our conference call in a few minutes as well, and she's going to help talk to us about the vision of Coney Island Hospital. Krause Hospital. Elizabethtown.
Here, Bonnie Bigelow, and we're concentrating on CPOE.
Thanks. Ellis Hospital. Anybody from Ellis? I thought we had somebody coming from Ellis. Erie County?
Yep, Ken Silla, and we're concentrating on CPOE.
Thanks. Good Samaritan? Jacoby? Kings County? Lakeside Memorial? Lincoln? I know we have somebody on this call. Maricar? You here? Margaretville Memorial, Medina, Mercy Medical Center, Metropolitan Hospital.
Hey, Suzanne.
Mm-hmm.
It's Marcy Donovan for Catholic Health Services. That includes Mercy Medical Center and Good Sam in West Islip.
And St. Charles.
In
Port Jefferson. This is Nikki Fiore-Lopez. I'm the Chief Nursing Officer.
Hi. Thank you for saying that. And what project are you guys on?
The medication administration.
The barcoding at point of care.
Thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. So we have all the Catholic hospitals on. Let's see, where are we? Orange Regional.
Trish Manna, Director of IT and barcoding for patient safety.
Thank you, Trish.
You're welcome.
Chronic Bay? Okay. Peninsula? Rome Memorial Hospital.
Hi, this is Mary Ann Dubay, CIO, and we're working on CPOE.
And Mary Beth McCall, Chief Medical Officer.
Welcome. Thank you. Samaritan? Okay. And then we're going to go down to St. Vincent's. Have anybody from SBC? I thought we did. United Health Services? Chenango? TLC?
This is Maureen Hudak, and we're concentrating on barcoding.
Thanks. Do we have anybody on the call from Woodhull?
Yes, we're here. We are focusing on barcoding for patient safety.
And who is this?
This is Marie Ann Trobus.
Hi, Marie.
Hi.
And finally, do we have anybody from Wyoming? Wyoming County Community? Gee, I spoke to half of you guys before, and most of you said you were coming on the call. All right. Now that we kind of know who's on the call and who are our participating hospitals, welcome all of you. I did want to say that one of the folks that was going to be that we were going to be talking to today is from Lincoln Hospital, and Lincoln Hospital is actually the recipient of this year's Davies Award for Organizational Excellence, and that was Maricar Baramita. Congratulations to you, Maricar, if you are on the call. We wanted to let you know that we thought that was a great accomplishment. Anyway, in order for any technology implementation to see success, you really need to understand the mission of the institution. You need to understand the mission of the institution. And in order to do that, there are certain things you need to identify. You need to identify, what are your organizational drivers? That's one of the things. So think about what's going to motivate you to do this project. Maybe it's medication errors, patient safety, the IOM aims for healthcare. You want to think about what are the strengths of your organization. Okay, this is really critical. What are the strengths? Have you already implemented a CPOE and have extensive experience in implementing successful IT implementations? Do you have a strong relationship between the information technology and clinical teams? Do you have a highly skilled workforce with good workforce retention? Those would be some organizational strengths. Then you want to think about organizational opportunities. Then you really want to think about what are some potential roadblocks to a successful implementation. Like, do we have budget for it? Do we have the finances? Do we have enough staff? Lack of buy-in could be a potential roadblock. Lack of staff with expertise in the area. You want to be able to make sure that these are identified, and when you identify those barriers, you think about strategies at that time that you can implement to overcome those barriers. And I'm going to say this a lot in our series of conference calls, and I'm thinking that, you know, many of our speakers are also going to say that communication is a big key to identifying those barriers. Make sure that you involve personnel who are, you know, less than happy about the change, and include the ones that aren't all that tech savvy in these conversations. So think about your potential roadblocks, what do you need to implement them, what do you need to implement in order to avoid them or deal with them successfully. Patient care, okay, next slide. We're going to move on to the next slide, okay? The next slide is also called The Vision. By the way, just to let you know, we're working off of that slide that I sent out along with this whole set. It's called Build the Vision, Plan the Strategy. I hope everybody downloaded that, just so that you know that that's really basically what we're talking about is that particular area today. Okay. Where are we here? Sorry, lost myself. Okay. We want to talk about really what do we need to do to be successful in justifying a project. What are the benefits that we're going to see in our organization? Are we going to see patient care benefits, financial benefits, organizational benefits? So what are some of the patient care benefits? Quality improvement. We're going to improve. How can this improve patient safety? If I do a barcoding project, is it going to improve patient safety? Really? Okay. How? How is it going to improve patient safety? Is it going to support my 2005 JCO National Patient Safety Goals? Ask yourself these questions. Will it, if I'm going to do a CPOE project, will it standardize the medication ordering, dispensing, and administration practices within this organization? Is that what we want to do? Is that our justification? Will it reduce medical errors? I hope so. That's what I'm looking to do. Is that what I'm looking to achieve here? Ask yourself during this justification process, during this process, what are my financial benefits that I'm going to get? When I'm developing my strategic plan for information technology, am I going to make any money? Am I going to streamline and standardize some processes? Where am I going to gain some efficiencies here? What do I have to gain? In the long term, what are my long-term projections for financial return on investment? Will we ever see a return on investment from this? If not, how are we handling that? You know, does it then become a patient quality issue? Organizational benefits. That's kind of a big key here as well. How will this and how will this improve my workforce retention? If I implement a physician order entry application, a CPOE application, am I going to do this in the hopes that my physicians will then be happier here? My nurses will then be happier here? You know, how will I promote this in order to explain to my physicians, this is to improve the way that you deliver, the quality of care that you deliver to your patients. This is to improve your life, make your life easier, along with the hospital. Improve workforce morale. Does this support the physician, nursing, and clinician workflow to increase productivity, to provide for more direct patient care time, and does it increase patient satisfaction? And if it does, how? How will this increase patient satisfaction? Now, just to kind of get off, stay on the topic, but to reinforce the topic, I'd like to ask Silvana to call. Silvana, can you talk a little bit about your vision at Coney Island?
Well, what we're striving for is an integrated record, an electronic medical record that includes all of these subspecialties. We have recently purchased an EKG system where we'll have, the media online. We also are right now working on putting mammography online, our vascular department online, which provides photos. So whereas you don't need, the medical record, everything will be online for all the healthcare providers to view.
That's great. When you were visioning and developing your strategic plan, I know you're part of the whole large organization, HHC. What were some motivators for you when you were during this process?
Oh, first of all, it was definitely a patient safety issue. When we started with medication administration, that was the key. I guess JCO and just basically, medication errors. So, and from what I hear from the facility as a whole, and especially the ER, is that it definitely helped in medication errors, because right now they're live with medication administration. They have a whiteboard, and they were the most resistant, but right now they're loving it.
Really?
Yeah, they really, really, because the patient whiteboard gives them everything at a glance.
And what about tests and results and
everything? There, the whiteboard gives you a list of. You can put it in any inpatient order or date of service, but it gives you a list of patients. And there's a column for your lab results, your medication. You could just click on it to see if it was administered or not. It tells you your abnormals. It's just one click, and everything's there on one screen.
And how long has CPOE been implemented in your hospital?
Oh, for the last 6 years, we've, you know, it's you with MISIS, you go live and, you know, you build your modules and go live accordingly. So we've been really aggressive in going, putting modules online as of the past year and a half.
That's great. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. I really do appreciate it. I hope that kind of reinforces this vision and strategic plan to many of you to hear that this really does provide a level of increased confidence for a facility to know that you are minimizing those medication errors and there is something that you can do about it. So maybe in further calls down the road, Silvana might want to get back on the phone and work with us a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Now, we're going to move on to our next slide about impact analysis. What is an impact analysis and why is it necessary? An impact analysis is going to upfront identify what systems are going to be affected by implementing any one of these IT initiatives. We want to make sure that we take a look at our existing architecture. Will this have an impact on my radiology system? Will this have an impact on my lab information system, my existing pharmacy system? If so, what is the impact on it? Will my systems continue to talk to one another? Will there be an impact on an effect on my interfaces? Do we want to build an overall integrated system? Do we want to maybe use one single vendor on one single architecture? I mean, we really want to take a look at what's going to be affected and how this is going to, you know, roll out. How is it going to affect our workflow? What's going to change? We want to talk about, you know, think about logistics. You want to think about ergonomics. With regard to ergonomics, you want to know, okay, am I going to have to have computers at every bedside? Am I going to need barcoders? Is this going to affect my staff with, you know, making them use certain equipment that maybe they're not used to using? And if that's the case, what am I going to do about that? How am I going to handle that? Do I need to put in cows? Do I need to put in any type of, you know, special workstations? Also think about your disabled population, you know, your workforce that might have a disability, whether it's a visual disability or a physical disability. You know, these are things that we want to think about. Do you have enough staffing? Do you have to ramp up? Does the current staff have the right skill set? Do I have technology on board that already does what I want to do? Maybe I just need to upgrade this type of technology. Is this going to be any type of a configuration problem or a compatibility issue? So these are things you want to check out when you're doing your impact analysis. We're going to move on to the next slide. Another thing that we want to think about when we're doing justification and the beginning of a project is what are some outcomes that are going to be associated with the automation process? What are some of our goals? Let's do some goal setting. So my first goal might be I want to prevent 150 medication errors per month. Well, how can I do that? Is that going to be resolved by my barcoding? Is that going to be resolved by a CPOE system? And, you know, if that's the case, how? I want to decrease admission assessments from 45 to 20 minutes. I want to get my medications to my patients 25% faster. By the way, I made up these numbers just to let you know. I'm just giving you sample outcomes. I want to reduce the outcome data collection time by 25%. How am I going to do that? I have to develop measurement and reporting. So we want to make sure that we develop a monitoring tool that's going to determine.
I'm on a conference call from work. I'll call you back in a half hour, okay?
The efficacy of the system, okay? We want to know, is this tool working? So basically what you want to do is you want to go at the end of each month, you want to say, okay, I want to know if my length of stay has been affected. So you're going to create a report or generate a report on length of stay or length of time from discharge to when the medications were DC'd. That's always a hot topic in hospitals. Patient gets discharged, pharmacy didn't know, they sent up the medications for that particular patient, and now they wasted that medication because the patient's never going to receive it. So one of the objectives for this type of a project could be, okay, to make sure that we minimize the amount of time that it takes for a patient to be DC'd and the pharmacy is notified. So we want to track that and see, are we saving any money now? You know, now that we're letting the pharmacy know much quicker, are we saving money? We're going to go on to the next slide. A few other little last items. We want to make sure that we determine a budget. Everybody knows that. We want to create a schematic of the existing technology and infrastructure in your organization. Now, that's something that's going to be done by your engineer, okay? But it'll avoid duplicate systems being put into place. So that's really something that you want to think about during this phase. Developing change management methodology, you want to talk about that. You want to make sure that you have that in place before you get started or at least start thinking about change management. What happens if, you know, when we make these changes, what's going to happen? How can we make these changes? How can we notify others once we make these changes? So you want to make sure that you've got that down. Then we want to talk about communicating the vision. This is something, as I said, we're going to be talking about a lot over the next bunch of phone calls that we have. Communicating the vision. You have to make sure that this goes top down, of course, and you have a method of saying to your physicians, this is what we're doing. To your nursing staff, this is what we're doing. Externally in the community. So you want to have internal communications and external communications. This is something that most folks don't think about in the beginning of the project. How are they going to be reporting? Who are they reporting to? How are they going to tell everybody? So some ideas for that could be some corporate sponsored town hall meetings, integration of maybe some sort of a clinical information project news. So let's say if you've already got a newsletter that's going out to throughout your organization, you can just add it to that, add it to your web page. You can have a dedicated project newsletter. You know, some institutions have done that. I think Winthrop did that when they were doing their CPOE project. You want to make sure that your board members and your executive members are communicating this and talking about it in the board meeting and with the medical directors and staff meetings. And then, you know, when you have your external newsletters, your website, as I said, joint media announcements, when you go out and talk in the community, when you do your medical society meetings, talk about it. What your initiative is. Let everybody in your community know, I'm doing a barcoding initiative, or I'm doing a CPOE initiative, or I have this, I've done this, or make sure that the community is informed of just how wired you are or are becoming, so that you get community buy-in as well as buy-in from the organization, from your employees in the organization. And then, of course, you've got your journals and newspapers. One of the things that I wanted to was to kind of talk to you a little bit about MedQuick. This is a CMS-sponsored initiative. They have provided us with some tools that we can provide to you. And one of those tools is the MedQuick website. And you would access MedQuick by typing www.medquick.org. And you would go on to the HIT pages. Okay, and you could also go on to ARC's website. You can go on to the Jenny website. And I have the HIT pages on the Jenny website doing the PSIOC. And that brings me to a discussion about how I'd like to really build this as a collaborative. Since I'm pretty new to this project, you know, I really haven't been able to, but I'd like to make this a very collaborative project where we're talking to one another and maybe feeding off of each other's expertise. On to the HIMSS website, the AHIMA website, and then for those of you who are involved in telemedicine, the Arizona Telemedicine Project is a great place to be. Get some information from them. They're always willing to talk to people. They speak to me all the time, and they're going to be on one of our calls in the series. You can get some books. There are many books out there. There's the medical informatics book that was just written by Ken Ong, really good book. Lots of resources. I have many, and if you have any questions about resources, let me know. And I think I've done something terrible. Just to say, I think I've forgotten to introduce Marguerite Schaefer, who is also on this call, and Dr. Charles Simler, by the way, is also on this phone call. I was very negligent. I truly apologize for that. I also want to thank Peggy, Miss Marguerite Schaefer, for pulling this together with me, my first of the series, and I can assure you they will get better. If anybody has any questions about what we have talked about today, we're going to have a brief question and answer session, you know, maybe 10 minutes or so. My next to last slide here is just a few words to live by, and this is just my own thoughts about integrating technology into practice, whether it be ambulatory or acute care. We are not here to just install software and computers and offices, nursing stations, your patients' rooms, your exam rooms. We are here to improve patient care. This means opening up the lines of communications with our patients, exploring creative ways to use this technology while we are delivering our health care to these patients. It's all about the patients. It's all about what we can do to improve the quality of care that we deliver to them. I can do nothing more than get across the message to you that this technology will help to improve the relationship between patients and improve the way that patients perceive us and take part, empower themselves in their own care. It does help. I'm going to tell you, without it, it's a problem. All technology in the world cannot replace human interaction, compassion, respect, and concern. Don't inside of medicine. I want to say that. And final note, I want to share with you one error that could have been avoided recently. I have been involved in a situation where my own child was hospitalized a few weeks ago, and had he not been empowered to know what his own medications were, he would have been given a medication that was completely banned from his list. They asked 20 times, what are the child's medication allergies? We gave them my son's medication allergies. And the nurse walked in to administer my son's medication, and he said, oh, what is that? And she said, it's Wellbutrin. And my son said, we finished just telling everybody 20 times that I'm allergic to Wellbutrin. And just to let you know, these errors do happen. So that was a big one. Just wanted to share that so that maybe everybody gets an idea that these things are real and they really do happen. They happen to me, they happen to you, and they can happen to your family. Any questions? Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I'm going to turn this over to Peggy Schaefer to do paper performance.
Thanks, Suzanne. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm just going to be brief. I just wanted to give a few updates on pay for performance, which is around the corner. But before I do that, I just wanted to alert everyone that Suzanne also posted to Jenny some information on vendors for both BPO, for barcoding and CPOE. I think that we all know that regardless of how it's funded, pay-for-performance or value-based purchasing is coming. Congress has mandated that CMS develop a plan by late 2008, which is around the corner. The Institute of Medicine urged CMS to gradually phase in pay-for-performance nationwide as a way to accelerate quality improvement. I'm sure most of you know that since 2003, the demonstration project has been underway looking at AMI-CHF, coronary artery bypass graft pneumonia, and hip and knee replacements. You know, all of these map to the appropriate care measures as well as the SCIP project for CMS. To date, $17 million has been awarded to top-performing hospitals. They've also focused or had a major focus with executives, elevating discussions to hospital executives and boards, which is, of course, we all know, key to success of any initiative or project. There has been a methodology developed to determine the impact of pay for performance on patient care outcomes. And certainly there has been, you know, documented confirmation that it has had a positive impact on patient care. It is and does seem to be working. They've learned some important lessons from the project, and these are just a few, to focus on the bundle rather than individual indicators. And you know that that is something CMS, in a way, is doing now with the ACM project and the SCIP project. And although we're not publicly reporting your indicators as bundles, I guess we could probably read between the lines. That's the way I think CMS is looking at it, as well as IHI, that looking at the bundle is important. Incentives are one thing, but they also need to be coupled with transparency. And medical errors are still a major problem, and avoiding duplicative medical procedures and improving coordination of care across settings is still a major focus and things that have been identified by the project. You know, CMS is working very diligently to try to come up with a way to implement this, and some of the things that they're thinking about are what components of DRG payment should be included as a basis for the incentive. How are they going to deal with, you know, smaller hospitals that have smaller numbers? They're thinking about the desirability or not of creating a single hospital quality data repository and data infrastructure and validation methodology in collaboration with Joint Commission and other stakeholders to make it easier, hopefully, for the hospitals. I mean, none of this is easy, but certainly that would make more sense. How do you determine the measure of success for pay-for-performance? So these are all of the things that they are struggling with, certainly the backlash from, you know, hospitals as well as physicians who I think at this point don't necessarily see the value in this. But when you hear about errors such as the one that Suzanne just described, you know, I don't really think that we would pay anybody for giving us, you know, any product that we buy that's faulty or whatever. And medical care should be no different. We shouldn't be paying for inappropriate care. Additionally, the Department of Health and Human Services, Secretary Michael Leavitt, you may be aware of this, he unveiled a new component of value-driven health care. His initiative got kicked off in February. It's a national plan to charter local collaboratives that support QI through public reporting of cost and quality data. He's looking for, I think, collaboration among businesses and healthcare leaders to create local collaboratives. This is not government mandated. It's voluntary. These groups would be chartered, and I don't think it's too difficult to get a charter to do this. And, of course, they're looking for, on a local level, for these groups to share individual or to share data with CMS to hopefully make it a more robust data source. The four cornerstones of the initiative are, number one, health information technology, quality reporting and cost reporting, and incentives for quality and value. I think the governor from Mississippi learned after Katrina how important it was to have, you know, an information infrastructure in terms of the work, and they've charged the state to put together a workforce to look at that. I'm sure that you're aware how value and outcome are being used to assess healthcare organizations' performance, and I'm sure you can appreciate the role IT systems will play as we look to reduce errors, standardize care processes, and integrate care in a more useful and timely way. Health information technology, I believe, is the cornerstone for making the type of transformational change we need to see in healthcare so that we can meet, you know, IOMs and IHIs and CMS's six aims, which is care that is safe, effective, patient-centered, timely and efficient, and equitable. And I think that will translate to improved care and outcomes, cost savings, and as we look toward the future, will carry with it, you know, a financial incentive and benefit. I thank you for your attention, and now if anyone has any questions, we'll entertain any questions anybody's got.
Peggy?
Yes.
Could you be so kind as to just briefly give an introduction to the template, Journaling the Journey?
Certainly.
Thanks.
One of the things that we're asking of all the participants in this particular IPG is to complete for us, and you can fax back or mail it to us or email it to us, a grid that we've completed entitled Journaling the Journey, and you can find it on the Jenny website. Suzanne also included it in the toolkit information that she sent out to you. And basically what it does is walk through the various steps of planning for the future implementation of your health information technology initiative. And it asks questions like planning the strategy, where you are in planning the strategy, you know, what research has been done in developing the vision for change, who's involved, in system selection and planning, how far along you are with that. And it, you just have to check off some of the things that have taken place. It's rather self-explanatory. Have you been able to communicate the vision? Have you put together an implementation plan? Can you articulate realistic goals and strategies and define the project scope, et cetera? There are several components to this grid, basically, which we will, and each one of these components we're going to go over on upcoming conference calls, and there are just very simple questions with check boxes of all the things that basically you've accomplished thus far in your planning for IT implementation. If you look it over and you have any particular questions on any of it, you certainly can feel free to call us, but I think it's fairly self-explanatory and mimics, I think, for a lot of you, the survey that we did at the beginning of the project when we first began during the A scope of work. And this will give you, I think, a good lead-in to the remeasurement survey, which you'll probably be doing toward the end of the year.
Thanks, Peggy.
You're welcome.
Well, do we have any questions? I don't think we had any questions so far. If you have any questions maybe on strategic planning, on building your vision, do you have questions on building justification or, you know, the business case? What are some efficiencies you might gain, whether they're operational or financial? Anybody have any questions about that? Any questions about, you know, an approach? Whether it, is there anything that we can talk to you about with regard to that?
Maybe while folks are thinking, I would just like to remind everybody that on the Jenny website, there is also an evaluation for today's call. If you would be kind enough to complete that. And on the evaluation, if you have any suggestions that you would like to make in terms of information that we might cover for you in future conference calls that might be helpful, please let us know.
We're going to be conducting personal calls. We're going to give you a call, and if there are any questions that you have when we're doing those calls, please feel free to ask us anything. We'll do some research for you if we don't know the answers at the time of the call. I think that about wraps it up for today, if nobody has any questions.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we look forward to our next call. which will be, I think it's on June 17th, I think, will be our next call. So, there's no further questions? Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation in today's conference. This concludes the program. You may all disconnect. Everyone have a great day.